The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, it's Groundhog Day. Good morning.
Yes, in fact, it was the 9th of April, the last time Israel went to the polls. And so really just 5 months later, and we are back voting again. The polls opened already this morning at 7 o'clock. They will be open in the most part until 10 o'clock tonight. 6.3 million Israelis entitled to vote. And everybody's just watching to see whether indeed this is Groundhog Day as we know it, because I think, to be honest, that people are not expecting any huge differences from the previous time we went to the polls. I mean, having said that, obviously there are some differences.
Well, that's what I want to know. Parties. What are there? You know, are there any significant differences that could result in a different result?
Well, I think the most significant issue, the most significant difference from the last time around, is the emergence of the Yamina Party, and we know that the Naftali Bennett Ayelet Shaked alliance from the last time around did not succeed in passing the minimum electoral threshold, which is 3.25%. They did not get any seats at all as a result of that in the last election, and now the polls are predicting that they will get as many as 8 seats. So that, I think, is the most significant difference probably. Along with that, let's recall that the 2 separate Arab parties that ran in the last election have now combined together to form a single Arab list. So whereas the last time around they achieved, I think, 10 seats each one on their own, there is a feeling that they may do better than that this time around. I think that those, of course, we've got the Meretz-Labor combination. They've come together. Meretz won 4 seats at the last election, Labor 6 seats. So there is a possibility that they may be able to do better. But I think this whole issue of the minimum electoral threshold, which is 3.25% and represents 4 seats in the Knesset. So the threshold that you will enter the Knesset with is at least 4 seats. If you get less than 3.25%, even though that could potentially represent 2 or 3 seats in the Knesset, those votes effectively are lost. Or alternatively, you could view them as being evenly distributed amongst those parties who actually do get seats in the Knesset. And I think that this is the main challenge, particularly for Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Likud, because he's trying to encourage those voters who might vote, for example, for Otzma Yehudit, where they are on the cusp of getting into the Knesset or not. So if people vote for them and they don't exceed the 3.25%, then those votes effectively will be spread out amongst all of the other parties. And so that's why Prime Minister Netanyahu has embarked upon this campaign to try and encourage those people who would have voted for Otzma Yehudit to vote for Likud, because instead of spreading the votes out, those votes will be directed towards the Likud. And whereas Likud and Kahol Lavan each managed to win 35 seats in the last election in April, the current estimation is that they will win less seats. Both of them will win less seats. They're still neck and neck at around about 32 seats. So the question is whether Prime Minister Netanyahu will somehow manage to convince voters to support Likud and the Likud and the parties that would be interested in forming a coalition with Likud in order to get the minimum government forming 61 seats that are required to get the majority in the Knesset. And so that's really what the focus of the Prime Minister will be on today, is to try and somehow encourage people to vote for those parties, including the ultra-Orthodox parties and including Yamina, which even though Ayelet Shaked and the Prime Minister have been at each other's throats over the last few days, really not being particularly friendly towards each other. But it is already advertised and known that Yamina will support the Likud in forming a government. So, you know, those are really the main issues that are being confronted today. And it's going to be interesting just to see by the time 10 o'clock tonight comes and the polls close, and we get those first ever important exit polls, exactly what we're being told about what the potential makeup of the Knesset will be, in the hope that we will actually have a government this time around.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is the Israel
report for the latest news.
Sorry about that. One wrong button was pressed. What's interesting to me is that there does seem to be a lot more press bias than I've certainly noticed in prior elections. And, to the extent that I'm starting to find it quite annoying, actually, to read some of the Israeli press, because it is so agenda driven that we're not getting a good balance. And publications that I would always consider sort of to be center of the road, like Times of Israel, have shown an incredible Netanyahu bias. Now, whether you know that's a reflection of Israeli society, well, we don't know that, because we need an election to know that. But for example, their editor David Horowitz, writing, this is his headline: vowing annexation, charging voter fraud, King Bibi looks poised to extend rule. Now, that is a very, very negative way of an editor of what is meant to be a sort of centrist kind of publication, an unbiased publication, reporting. And it to me, this becomes quite problematic in the influence that it now starts to have over Israelis, because it means we don't really know what the reality is on the ground. Very much almost like a microcosm of what we're seeing in the United States with Trump. What are your thoughts on that?
The press are influencing society, or whether the societal feelings are not potentially influencing the way that the press is reporting. I find it ironic that the only democracy in the Middle East, and we've heard that term used so many times, is really not enthusiastic about going to the polls today. And that's a very, very sad statement of our democratic society, because a democracy should be looking forward to exercising one's democratic right in order to elect a new government. And yet Israelis are just weary and fed up of this whole situation, which many, even center right wing voters, many blame on Prime Minister Netanyahu, because with all the things that are going on around him, there is a feeling that he's kind of done his time, and that he needs to move on, and we need to get some new blood into the system. And we're certainly getting that feeling from the David Horowitz article that you mentioned, and indeed many of the other press articles that are being written. So the question for me is, you know, is he simply reflecting the frustration that so many people are feeling in society, or alternatively, is he really trying to influence the way that people are seeing things? Because his article is kind of double-edged. On the one hand, he's predicting a victory for Netanyahu, but on the other hand, he's kind of he's denigrating that in many respects, saying,
yes, but
even though,
in fact, that's quite manipulative, because predicting a victory for a guy that you clearly don't want to win and that you're maligning is really a call to people to get out there and vote against Netanyahu.
Absolutely.
So that's why I didn't like that article.
It sure does.
Mm. Mm.
It absolutely influences them. And, you know, for example, the one big issue for today, and I think the main issue for today, is how many people are actually going to turn up and vote. There are massive predictions that there's going to be a very, or a relatively low voter turnout, substantially lower than 5 months ago. And that's not only because a lot of people are away, or because it's before the Chagim, and that might influence the opportunity for people to vote, but simply because people are kind of tired, and there is no real drive, there is no real desire, passion to go out and exercise democratic rights. And so, you know, that article could be seen in a number of different ways. It could be a call to arms to get people out to vote potentially. I mean, in that article is almost asking people to vote against Netanyahu, saying he's going to come in unless we come out and vote against him. And I have to tell you that a lot of the vote that's going to go to parties that are non-liquid parties are protest votes. They are not votes that are necessarily in favor of the party that's being voted for, but they're rather protesting the fact that we've now had a period of time with Netanyahu where a lot of people, even standard Likud supporters, feel that Netanyahu really needs to step aside. He needs to answer the accusations that are being leveled against him. He needs to devote his time to that rather than to try and split his time between answering legal cases and running the country at the same time. So there is a very, very strong body of support against Netanyahu, and there's a lot of the right-wing voters saying, please don't vote for Likud this time around, but for example, vote for Lieberman, because the Yisrael Beiteinu party, and Lieberman in particular, represents a right-wing government, but one that does not involve Netanyahu, and one that involves a national unity government, because that's now what he's standing for. He's saying we need a national unity government, a secular national unity government. He's emphasized that point, and one that is not does not involve Netanyahu. Now, you know, my prediction is that even if Likud is the largest party tomorrow when the votes have been counted, I can't see a constellation where Netanyahu will still be prime minister after this, because with all the legal issues going on around him, and with the fact that I believe that the president will be a lot more activist this time around, having learned lessons from what happened the last time around in April, I think that he's going to be much more on top of things, and he's going to be much more influential in the way that he calls for the government to be formed. But with the predictions, with the current opinion polls suggesting that the Likud will not have the required 61 seats in order to form the government, the question is what happens next. And I think that what happens next is that the Israeli public demand that a government be formed by hook or by crook, one way or another, because Netanyahu has already been quoted as saying if he can't form a government this time around, he'll go to a third round of elections.
Oh my gosh, that should happen to us on this occasion.
But he's already suggested that. I think that the Israeli public will demand that a government be formed, and the only way that that is achievable is if Netanyahu either steps aside or is pushed aside or is encouraged to stand aside, and that a national unity government be formed. So my prediction, for what it's worth, and I'm not very good at predicting these things, but the only way that I see things is that we will ultimately have a national unity government, that it will not involve Netanyahu. It'll be interesting to see who will be the prime minister, whether Benny Gantz will be the guy who stands up, who's the most likely candidate beyond Netanyahu to be prime minister, or whether potentially the Likud offers somebody else. I don't know, Yuli Edelstein perhaps could be the person that the Likud offers as an alternative. If Rivlin turns to the Likud and says, I would like you to form a government, but not with Netanyahu, which we can't rule out. We can't rule out that situation happening. And Rivlin has already said that he will give 4 weeks to form a government, and the extension of an additional 2 weeks will not be granted. He's made that very, very firm and very clear, even at the outset. So this is going to be a very interesting exercise. I think the poll today is kind of just an activity that people need to go through in order to get to tomorrow. And then we're going to see the real activity of who is in the lead, how the president activates the politicians at that point, and who will ultimately get the task and succeed in forming that government.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. Kate wanted to know if Israelis who are not in Israel are able to vote. I think that time has passed, hasn't that?
Well, in fact, Israelis who are not in Israel are not entitled to vote as a general rule. There is no postal vote system, or there's no early voting system in Israel. The only people who are entitled to vote who are not in Israel are those who are outside of Israel on diplomatic duty.
So those diplomatic staff or people who have been sent
as shlichim from Israel on official duty, they have an opportunity to vote. If you happen to be on holiday or an Israeli living outside of Israel, you have no opportunity to vote.
Kate, I hope that answers your question. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, it's going to be very interesting to chat to you tomorrow morning, and when we will start to get a sense of what is going on in terms of this election. You have a fantastic day. It is a public holiday there, so I have no doubt you're going to go and vote and then maybe even get to the beach. It is 8:01.